Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service, and the full recording can be found on our Facebook page. The readings are taken from Numbers chapter 18, verses 21 to 32, and Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 34. Today we begin a new sermon series entitled, You Are Not On Your Own. The talk is entitled Stewardship and Generosity and is by our vicar, the Reverend Fabian Verks. The recording includes a French-speaking video clip, which can be viewed on our Facebook page.
The first reading is taken from Numbers chapter 18 and verses 21 to 32. To the Levites I have given every tithe in Israel for a possession in return for the service that they perform, the service in the tent of meeting. From now on, the Israelites shall no longer approach the tent of meeting, or else they will incur guilt and die. But the Levites shall perform the service of the tent of meeting, and they shall bear responsibility for their own offences. It shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generations. But among the Israelites they shall have no allotment, because I have given to the Levites as their portion the tithe of the Israelites, which they set apart as an offering to the Lord. Therefore I have said of them that they shall have no allotment among the Israelites. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, You shall speak to the Levites, saying, When you receive from the Israelites the tithe that I have given you from them for your portion, you shall set apart an offering from it to the Lord, a tithe of the time. It shall be reckoned to you as your gift, the same as the grain of the threshing floor and the fullness of the vine press. Thus, you also shall set apart an offering to the Lord from all tithes that you receive from the Israelites, and from that time you shall give the Lord's offering to the priest Aaron. Out of all the gifts to you, you shall set apart every offering due to the Lord, the best of all of them that is part of the consecrated. Say also to them, when you have set apart the best of it, then the rest shall be reckoned to the Levites as produce of the threshing floor and as the produce of the winepress. You may eat it in any place, you and your households, for it is your payment for the service in the tent of meeting. You shall incur no guilt by reason of it when you have offered the best of it, but you shall not profane the holy gifts of the Israelites on pain of death.
Our second reading this morning is from the Gospel that Matthew wrote, chapter 6, reading from verses 19 through to 34. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life. And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today.
Jesus, as we explore the theme of generosity and stewardship, I thank you for this church and how they've showed a generous heart in practical ways and with money. Continue your work in us that we will be people who are able to live freely and joyfully. And thank you for those words reminding ourselves not to worry. Encourage us, strengthen us, and challenge us today. Amen. So we're starting a new series, and it's called You Are Not Your Own. And today we're going to explore the idea of stewardship and generosity. And then we will move on to, for a few weeks, looking at greater details to the Lord's Prayer. And that will lead us throughout the summer until September. But for the last few weeks, we've talked about where the church is. And if you were here last week, I kind of shared a bit of where we stand financially in our church. So if you were not here, then I have two slides to help you catch up. But it's a little bit of kind of catching up for those who were here last week. So basically, in every church, we have money coming in. That's our income. And then we have money going out. That's our expenditure. And this is very helpful to give you an idea of what's coming in to the church. So the big bits of that pie, the stewardship and collection, that's what's coming in. And that's mainly stewardship is people who are doing standing orders. And I'm so grateful because this church has been so generous in a time of COVID. A lot of churches have struggled with that bit of their income because in many churches it's plates or going around. So if you're not in church, well, you can't really give. But so many have made this step of faith to regularly give through a standing order. And that meant that through the COVID period, our giving have only slightly come down, but not a lot. But there were other incomes, like the renting of our hall, which we couldn't do. And so all those kind of incomes made what's coming in, what came in 2021, a little bit less than we used to. So you have, and then you have a big part called gift aid. And that's when you give to the church, you can also, if you're a taxpayer, you can claim back, well, we can claim on your behalf, back 25%, I think? A quarter! So if you give 1 quid, we can claim 25p, which is great. So it's a big part of our income. And if you are a taxpayer and you haven't filled that form, it really will help the church so that we can then claim that and talk to that lady. And she can help you understand whether you could do that, because sometimes you might not be able to pay. You don't pay enough tax, and sometimes we need to just be mindful, and we'll help you with that. And then what's coming out? And last week I shared about the parish share, which is the main thing that comes out. And you might think, well, that's quite a big amount. last week I said, a vicar costs you about £50,000. That's not my salary, I don't get that much. But of course, I get a house, there's pension contribution, and there is all kind of services that the diocese provides to help vicars thrive. And so that's about an ongoing kind of training. But also, a big part is to help new vicars. So we have Dave, and he's training as a curate. It costs the church some money. So that's why we pay that amount of money. And last week, I jokingly said, because we have a curate, we kind of, if it's two times £50,000, actually, we don't even pay enough. But there we go. We only have him for three, 4 years. So, and then you have other things that we do. Some wages, our administrator and Ian, who's our caretaker, and the reality of running church, repairs. But also, and I'm talking about the kind of idea of tithing, we believed, and it has been a tradition in this church, that 10% of what we give out to mission. And so we have this 11%, and that's different missions. Every month we talk about one of those missions that we are helping. But the reality is that, well, our income were less than our outcome or expenditure. And so that was the amount of money that we were short. But because we also had a legacy, the real amount of money that we were short is about that in last year, in 2021. And it's about the same that's going to be about this year. And that's across many churches. Most churches, because of COVID, their income were less than an outcome. We have reserves, so the church has been planning for rainy days, we say. But of course, we need to be mindful of where we are. Richard Sainsbury says that's about £100 a day. So in a sense that if we're about 100 and we say, oh, £100 a day, so if I give a pound more every day, £30 at the end of the month, we could cover that. If your couple is 60 quid, it's a bit much. But that's where we are at the moment. That's to give you inform. No. Here is a quick question. How many verses do you think there is in the Bible that speaks about money? So if you think A, or B, or C, or D, and I'm going to go through. So who thinks it's about less than 100 in the whole Bible? Okay. Who thinks about 200 to 500? Okay, Roger, and a few there, now go. Who thinks it's about 1,000 or just less, about that amount? Yeah, okay, a few there, yeah, okay. Who thinks it's over 2,000? A few, okay, so 1,000, 2,000? There you go, it's a trick, it's tricky. There you go, it's over 2,000 that speaks about, not directly, but that mentioned, or that has the word money or wealth in it. And if you compare to prayer and faith, it's quite interesting. Another thing is that out of the 39 parables, and sometimes the question, you know, is it a parable or not, but about 39, 11 mention or deal with money and possession, Jesus' parable. Now, those statistics don't tell the whole story. Times when Jesus is speaking or have money in a parable, it's just as an illustration. It's not to really talk about money, but it's an illustration to make a bigger point. And it's not that money is more important than prayer or faith. They are all important, but I think it just gives us a bit of perspective that the Bible is not shy to speak about money and wealth, and that Jesus did the same. And he regularly used money and illustration, or taught how to develop a right relationship with it. So while the Bible has many things about money and wealth, there is a key principle, and it's in our New Testament passage. Either will money or wealth become something that rules our lives, or money and wealth will be a tool to express a life of gratitude, generosity, and worship. And so Jesus resumes that by saying, you cannot serve God and money. Either you will worship or serve money and wealth, or you will worship and serve God with your money and wealth. And so we have this verse here, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. That's from Proverbs 3, chapter 3, verse 9. In other words, and we'll see that in a passage in the Old Testament, there is this principle of God first, and God gets the best. God is first, and God gets the best. And that's how the Israelites were taught. In that passage, it's been a very long passage in number, and a bit wary about dying if you do something wrong. But the key principle is that the Israelites gave 10% of their produce to the Levites, and they were responsible to care for the spiritual needs. They were serving at the temple, and they also had other duties to do. But very interestingly, the Levite, once they got the 10%, the first thing they had to do is to set aside 10% of that to model generosity, and they had also to give that away. Now, the first person in the Bible we hear about that idea of 10% or tithe is Abraham. Before the Mosaic Law, he gave 10% after an event, and you can read that in Genesis 14. And then we have Jacob also, who gave 10% after he had this dream from God, and he kind of made a bargain. Jacob is the one who bargains with God. And he said, in exchange of your care and your provision, I will give you a tenth of my belonging. You can read that in Genesis 28. But for the Israelites, there was this law that was in their constitution that a tenth of their produce and the produce of the land, whether grain or fruit, is the Lord and is holy. And they were called to honor God with their wealth in that sense. So now the big question is that, well, does it apply to us as Christians? We're not Jews. We don't live under the law. Well, Christians are divided. Some feels yes, and they will use the fact that for Moses and Jacob was before the law, and so there was this principle, and that Jesus, when speaking to the teachers of the law, says, you know, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites, you give a tenth of your spice, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matter, the law, justice, and mercy. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. So Jesus expected at least the Pharisees to still function with that principle. Other Christians feel that because we are under a new covenant, that idea of 10% is not for us, but the idea of generosity, to be generous, because that's what we have in the New Testament. They will say, we don't know if Abraham and Jacob, we don't think it's prescriptive, but the description of what they did at that time. And also that was part of the Mosaic Law. As a Christian, we are under a new covenant. And finally, it's true that in the rest of the New Testament, you don't hear about tithing or 10%, but you hear about being generous. So at St. James, how do we approach the matter? Well, at the back, you have a little leaflet about how we do giving in St. James here. It's called Why Giving? And it's very informative and well done, and it speaks about tithing and it speaks about generosity. But we function with the following principles. First, free, a free will. And that's why on Sunday you don't see us going around with a collection plate. There is one at the back, you're free to use it. But we feel God loves a cheerful giver. That's what you find in 2 Corinthians 9. And it should be free, and it's something that grows as a principle of faith and discipleship. So free will, planned. There are aspects in the New Testament that Paul instructs the Corinthians to plan their giving, to set aside every week. And so for some, that's it. You set aside something every week and you bring it on Sunday. For many of us, we set aside once a month. Sacrificial. King David said that he will not give to God something that would not cost him. And similarly, at St. James, we believe that our giving to God should be, in a sense, costly to us, reflecting God's giving of his Son sacrificially to us. And generous. We are called to rely on God's faithfulness to provide and be generous with our wealth. And in that leaflet, there are two helpful questions. First, does what I give reflect the real state of my finances? Or does what I give reflect my understanding of God's goodness and generosity to me? Just going to let those two questions for a second. Now I'm going to show you a video that's a bit light. I had to bring some kind of element of my culture, so I might completely miss the point, because this is French comedian. It's a little bit similar to Mr. Bean, basically, but in France. And he's called Louis de Funès. But there is a reason why I'm going to give you this. Two little bits. And one is from a play from Molière called The Miser, and very similar to, in a sense, Scrooge with you. And one is kind of, I think you would translate he just wants the whole money of the world, and you will see why. But I don't think you've ever seen him, because I couldn't even find one with subtitle in English, so I think it only English exists in French. So in the first one, you will see that his butler is kind of playing with gold, and he's kind of sleeping, and there's a few sentences there. And there is a play on words. In French, you have EUR, which is heure, like quelle heure il est, what time it is, or Seigneur, Lord, Seigneur. And gold in French is OR, or. So every time there is an heure in French, he changes it to or, to gold. So he says, it's gold, my lord gold. So you will see that. But it influenced me as a kid, and I will tell you why. And then the other one is, it's just so funny about the collect in a church, and you will see. So hopefully you can have a laugh.
C'est l'or, il est l'or, l'or de se réveiller, mon seigneur, il est 8 heures, oui, oui, oui.
Il en manque une.
Vous êtes sûr?
Tout à fait sûr.
Ça alors?
There's one missing. You could hear it. That was one missing. And there is more. He's kind of, she chases him around. Why do I show you that? Well, as a kid, I used to have lots of like 2 pennies that I would save, and I would make them rain on me in my bedroom. After, I don't know, it must be an infant of this film. But I know that I'm naturally a worrier and a saver, so I would save money. And I know that I think if I didn't know the Lord, money would be a big struggle in my life. I was still a teenager, and I used to buy scratch cards because I wanted to be rich. And it cost me a lot of my pocket money, nearly close to an addiction. What I want to say is that it's God's work that transforms us, and that's what transformed me. And it takes time to learn to be generous, but we can always make the next step. We can always trust God with a little bit more of our wealth and our money. Because what God really wants us is to free us. He doesn't want money or wealth or possessions to be something that keeps us kind of chained or worried. He wants to free us. And so Jesus says, do not store up for yourself treasure on earth, but store up for yourself treasure in heaven. The truth is that a significant portion of your life will revolve around earning and saving and giving and spending money. So our relationship with money is important. It's not something we can brush aside unspiritual us and important. It's part of our discipleship. The good news is that when you place your faith in Christ, you will in time be transformed. You will be in time be more generous. And at various times of my life, I was able to give more or less, and I struggled at times. The easiest time I had is when I had less money. When I was with OM, the only thing we got is like pocket money once a week, and the rest, you know, you would be fed and clothed, and so you didn't have to worry about that. But I think it was about 20 quid. And then you go to church, and at the time I felt, you know, for me 10% is a principle, like a minimum. So I thought, 2 quid feels a bit small, you know, to give 2 quid. So I think I gave something like 5 quid, so 25% of my income. I didn't find it difficult. Once I start working and I saw the bills and what I want to do, and I found it more difficult to give. And sometimes the more money I had, the more I found it difficult. I don't know if it's something the same with you. It's a practice. It's part of our discipleship. But God will help us and will empower us to be generous. But it's still a decision we have to make. And I know that when I took more step of faith and when I've been more generous, there was no more freedom. Now, I don't believe that you give and God gives back, or God gives more in a sense of money. I don't believe in that theology. Sometimes you give and you can do less. But God gives more in a sense of sometimes joy and peace and freedom and health and the right attitude towards wealth. So it's part of our discipleship, but how we handle money is also an expression of our worship. And that sentence, you know, you cannot serve God and money, it really helped me to understand that or you will worship money, or you will serve more and more money and stress about it, or you will see money as a way to worship God, as a way to bless others, and that's liberating. And then finally, a healthy relationship with money will teach us to be content, because at various time of life, there are challenges, and it's difficult to be content. Paul says that he's learned in whatever situation to be content. He knows how to be brought low, he knows how to be in abundance. In every and any circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I think that's one of the big challenges in our life, to be content with oneself, content with our family situation, content with our wealth, our possession, our work. Why? Because we are bombarded with those messages and images everywhere that entice us to pursue something better. You just bought the last phone, and after a few months, you realize there is a new one. And you feel, if I could have that one, it's a bit better. We compare cars, houses. We want to acquire this and that, because this world makes us believe and compels us to be always dissatisfied. Do you feel that way sometimes? And I think Jesus' words here in the New Testament are kind of like balm to our wounded soul. Because of this constant message, do not worry. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. And he shows, he takes things of nature. Look, the birds of the air that don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Do not worry about, you know, the clothes you're going to wear, those basic needs. Do not worry. See the flower of the fields. They do not labor or spin, and yet not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. God wants us to free us so that we don't worry. There is this great promise in Philippians says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Jesus Christ. And that's after the Philippians gave a gift of money to Paul to help his ministry. And so at the end of this New Testament passage, we have this, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. He wants us, he wants you to keep him, keep his plans, his purpose, his way of life at the center of all that you do. And then he promised he will meet all our practical needs, whatever food, clothes, safety, transport, work, whatever. But he will also meet our deepest need, the need to be free, the need to be joyful, the need to be peaceful. So this morning, I hope that somehow you've been encouraged, challenged, that you've been thinking about your giving, that you might be praying about it, that you will take away, if you haven't, one of those leaflets at the back there, and they give you how we work here at this church, Or if you think about legacy, there are also very helpful leaflets at the back there again about legacy. Or on our website, it tells you. But that you will be yourself thinking and studying scripture to make your own mind about how to be generous. And as you grow in your giving and in being generous with all that you have, and that includes your time, your skills, your abilities, all that God has given you, I pray that you will experience the God who says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And may you hear his voice saying, do not worry about your life, and do not worry about tomorrow. Keep me and my purposes at the heart of your life, and you will experience my care and my comfort. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.